give him a hand clap for it. Oh, yes, Lord. Man, I love what I feel in this house. I said I love what I feel in this place. Hallelujah. Man, it feels right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, I was just, the only reason I'm pausing, I'm still trying to catch my breath. And I told it. Leaned over, want to go to somebody, and I said, I'm going to have to catch my breath, or I ain't about to preach. Hallelujah. But I this is real church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Brother Johnson. And we are so excited to be here. I was telling somebody, evangelist friend of mine, one of my close friends, I was telling, I was almost pulling up at the parking lot last night, and he called me, and I said, man, I could probably count on one hand, or if I had to count on one hand, I said, the places that are my favorite places to preach, Landmark is right there. And then I said, well, I don't even know if I would have to count or not. I said, because I can't think of too many more places right now. But we are happy to be here and so thankful. I tell you, last night was first class. And it was. And that the preparation, that just did not happen. But it, you know, all the preparation, the work, the decoration, the food, just everything, the organization of it, the games, everything. And my wife told me that I felt a little too comfortable around y'all. I just felt at home. I couldn't help it. One thing about it, I'm not a hypocrite. What you see is what you get. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we had fun. If you can't have fun having church, you need to find a different church. Or you need to get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I'm doing so quickly. We got 3 nights here. I can talk more later then. I can have my wife to sing then. But I just feel like preaching right now. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Can I just go old school on us this afternoon? I could preach something that would possibly wow you, and you walk away and say, you know, we heard a camp meeting message, or I could preach something that could help us. I believe I'm more concerned about somebody. I really believe that not degrading it, because I like appetizers just as well as the main course, but. This is for getting the Holy Ghost while I go. It's just the appetizer. And so we're not done yet. So if you stop right now, you don't have a big appetite. But I believe that God is wanting to do more in this place. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled, everybody say all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Dropping down to the 12th verse. And they were all amazed and were in doubt. These were the people that were looking on, the spectators, saying one to another, what meanest this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose. He didn't deny that they weren't drunk. He just said they're just drinking from a different kind of well. They're not drunken as ye suppose, standing in for the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young man shall see vision. Your old man shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaids, I will pour out in these days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Then Peter began to preach a little bit. He began to preach a little bit on Calvary. He began to preach a little bit on conviction. And it began to convict their heart. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked, or they were convicted in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we got to do to be saved? Then Peter said unto them, repent. I still believe you've got to repent. You've got to make a turnaround. You've got to come out from amongst the world. But he didn't just stop there. He said, be baptized. Not some of you, but every one of you. In the name of the Father. In the name of the Son. In the name of the Holy Ghost. Yes, they just knew what the name was. That name is Jesus. That name is baptizing you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the removal of your sins. Without that name, your sins may have been forgiven, but they had never been removed. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to preach this afternoon. It's time to have a personal Pentecost. It's time to have a personal Pentecost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Hallelujah. You can be seated. The Lord showed me something. I believe I might have shared this on the phone when I was still at Brother Brad Robinson's in January in revival with Brother Tim Johnson. I was laying there, or either walking on the floor there or laying on the floor praying one day. How many really want a Book of Acts revival? How many understands what a Book of Acts revival even is? Many times I've said I wanted a Book of Acts revival. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm thinking like Numbers. You know, 3,000 one day, 5,000 another day. And that's all fine if that's what the Lord wants to do. But the Bible said that they begin to do something. The Bible talks about that they moved on. The Bible says, then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day, they were adding to them about 3,000 souls. But they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Another verse says that they went from house to house. And I really believe that the way that the real church is supposed to be built is that 3,000 and 5,000, not that God can't do it right now, but I'm telling you, that was the harvest of the Lord. And the way that we're going to build a church is by one soul at a time. It's by one person at a time. It's by reaching one more person on a Sunday that's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, I've been an evangelist for almost 2 years, and I'm still praying. I want to see 100, 200 soul revival. Nothing wrong with praying that way. But the main thing is, I don't want to come back a year later and not be 1% of them left. The goal of the church is this. God said we must win them, and then we have to disciple them. That then they can go and win someone else and disciple someone else. And then they can go and win someone else and disciple someone else. Hallelujah. I've seen them before, 200 soul revival, and you would come back 10 years later and the church would still be running the exact same average as it was before the revival. But I'm telling you, a real revival is not a flash in the pan, but it's a real move of God where we take them and we grow them little by little as God adds to the church daily that which should be saved. Hallelujah. I'm getting off on a different message. Hallelujah. There are individuals we know in this place that do not have the Holy Ghost. And I'm believing God that I'm going to preach something this afternoon into your spirit before this service is over that you will say, I cannot leave that service until I have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with the Spirit through and through. Hallelujah. I'm preaching today from Acts chapter 2. This is a famous chapter for us Pentecostals. We love to get into Acts chapter 2, which talks about God pouring out His Spirit on the day of Pentecost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost and how He's still pouring it out today. You see, Pentecost is not meant to be a holiday. It's not meant to be a memory. It's not to be about something of our past. But Pentecost is meant to be an ongoing, everyday experience, and God wants everyone to share in it. The Bible said that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, understand that Pentecost was a feast day. It was 50 days after Passover, 7 weeks, and basically one day. They would celebrate all of these weeks with great feasting and great celebration. This was a time that when they were looking forward to the coming of the harvest, they were looking forward to what God was about to do, how He was about to work in their life, and how He was about to bless them. But it was not only the celebration of the harvest, but it was also the celebration of the giving of the law. We understand that the day of Pentecost did something with the law that forever changed it. It made it more powerful and new. It wrote the laws of God upon our heart. That we no longer live for God out of requirement or out of duty of imposed law, but rather we live for Him because He puts it in our heart to want to serve Him. I don't serve God this afternoon because I fear of being stoned, because I fear of being casted out of the congregation, or cut off from my family. But I serve this true living God because it's in my heart to love Him. It's in my heart to follow after Him. So the day of Pentecost was the celebration of the harvest and the celebration also of the giving of the law. You cannot separate the two. If we're going to have a harvest of souls that God intends to bring into His kingdom, hallelujah, as we approach the coming of the Lord, it must come from the writing of the law upon our hearts. Some people try to say we're going to be very legalistic in our thinking, very law-oriented in our thinking. They try to focus on building a church that way. On the opposite side, you have people that said we're going to do away with all the unnecessary rules, and we're just going to focus on harvest, harvest, harvest. The problem is you can't have a harvest unless the law of God convicts you of your sin, brings you to an altar of repentance, baptism in His name, the infilling of His Spirit. That's the only real way you can have a harvest. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the thing I want to emphasize here today is that God is a God of timing. It was the appointed time. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until. There was an appointed time. There was an appointed season. When God brings you to that season of time, friend, you must respond to Him while there's an opportunity available to you. There is a window or door of opportunity that is there when the Spirit of the Lord comes and God gives you a chance to respond. I'm preaching to someone here today that God has it open to you. A door of opportunity for you this day. What are you trying to say, Brother Mills? The day of Pentecost for you has fully come. You don't have to wait anymore. You don't have to put it off anymore. But it's fully come for you. It's here in its completion. We're not looking for some event that's way off in the future that is going to give us the rest of our experience. But the whole experience, the whole package is here today. Hallelujah. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Bible said they were all with one accord in one place. You see, the church of the living God is a congregation. The word church means congregation or assembly. You can't, I'm sorry, be part of a church by yourself. You can't be a part of the church alone. You can't just stay at home. You know what? I know at home we can do devotions and prayers. We should do these things, reading our Bible. But that's not church. You can't have church unless two or three are gathered together in His name. Because church is an assembly. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more, as you see the day approaching. See, if you miss one service, you miss what God had to say to you and your family for that service. Coming to the house of God is a Pentecostal experience. Hallelujah. And they were all with one accord in one place. It's not just talking about unity here. And I believe we need unity in one of the statements that I made to this elder last night, in almost 2 years of evangelizing, I have not preached in a church yet that I feel the ratio of unity is the strongest in this place. And see, everybody seems to be on board. Usually, 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. But that's not happening. It seems to be that 100% of the people are doing 100% of the work. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that it's important not just to be unified, but to be in one place and in one mind, one accord. But I want you to look at the second verse. And suddenly, we like the word suddenly. We live in a time that we got more technology and more things to streamline our time than we ever had, and we keep running out of time. We speak the word and we want God to do it suddenly. But the problem is that God often works suddenly after a long wait. Because I'm sorry, friend. It says that He came suddenly, but they've been in that room for several days. (laughs) realize that these people have been in the upper room for a long time. It probably smells like a locker room. They want to go home. They want to sleep in their own beds. Maybe they did go home every night. I don't know. I just got this tip, Brother Johnson, that they didn't leave because they're afraid they'd miss something. See, when you get to the point that you don't want to miss church because you never just know what you might miss if you miss church. We know that they were there at least 7 days, maybe 10 days. What would happen if Pastor Johnson called a Pentecost meeting next week and said, we don't stay here till the Holy Ghost falls? And I'm assuming they ate. Maybe they ordered Subway. I don't know. But if I understand it correctly, they've been in this upper room for at least a week. And even if they had went home every night, it still had to be hard. Giving up their work, their income, tearing and waiting for the promise from the Father. You see, if you want God to move suddenly, you've got to be willing to wait while He's moving slow. I said, if you want God to move suddenly in your life, you've got to wait on Him while He's moving slow. We like the sudden move. We like the healing. We want it when it's the time, when the day is fully come, when it's your moment, friend. If you'll wait on God, I'm telling you, God will step in and He will make a difference in your life. Hallelujah. There's some people here today that you have been in your 7 days of waiting for the last 10 years. 5 years. 2 years. There are some of you who feel like you've been waiting for a long time. And some of you, maybe not that long at all, but some of you, for some of you, I believe this day is your day of deliverance has come. The day of your salvation has come for you today. You don't have to wait any longer. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rush of mighty wind. I'm preaching to you today in the Holy Ghost. I can't preach in my own strength. I can't preach in my own flesh, my own intellect. I can't preach out of my own mind, but neither can you respond out of your own flesh or out of your own mind. We need a sound from heaven. We need a voice from heaven to speak to us. We need this word that's being preached today to be transformed while I'm preaching it into a sound from heaven. You see, we may not actually hear a sound of the wind blowing here today, or we may if God chooses. But don't wait for the wind. Don't look for it in the earthquake or the firestorm or the whirlwind. Some people come and the reason they don't get the Holy Ghost is because they're waiting for God to shoot them with a lightning bolt and they end up out there in the parking lot. That ain't the way it works. But if you'll just sit there and say, God, I'm willing to let you speak to me in that still, small voice. And it'll be like a cold rain that pours down over you, that pours into your soul, that you feel like you just walked into on a hot, sunny day. And when you stepped out of it, you just had a good cold shower. I'm telling you, it'll change. It'll set you free. It'll deliver you. You see, the Holy Ghost has a word for you today. It's trying to tell us that God is speaking to you, sir, ma'am, young person from heaven. This means you don't need something that arrives from the earth, but you need a revival that flows from heaven, that breaks into this earth, that transforms this world in which we are living in. We can't have church in our own flesh. We can't have church in our own strength. But what we need is a breakthrough from heaven in this earth. Hallelujah. Be seated. The Bible says in John 3:1, I told you I'm going to old school. I'll probably teach and preach, do a little bit of both. I'll probably preach when I got my breath, and I'll teach when I'm trying to get it. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John 3:1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles as I do, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of heaven, of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus, thinking carnal, like we all do before we got the Holy Ghost. But Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of the water, baptism, and of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's no option that you add on. It's a commandment that you've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. He goes on to say, you see, that was just born in the flesh. It's flesh. You're talking about the flesh, Nicodemus. But I'm talking about the Spirit. That was just born of the Spirit. It's Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And then he gives him an example. I love the way that the Lord taught, because I would have made a good disciple, because I need people to give me examples. And he always done these parables. And you know, he had to break it down on second grade level. And he said, you know, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it cometh from, for it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know, we can't see the wind, but we can hear the wind, and we can see the effects of the wind. He said, the same is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The word wind in the New Testament is the same word as Spirit. Wind and Spirit are the same words in the Greek. They translate them differently according to the context. But wind and Spirit are the very same word. So when he says everyone that is born of the Spirit, it is the same as everyone that is born of the wind. He said, you'll hear the wind blowing, you don't know where it's coming from, but you can hear the sound thereof. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. He fulfills that in that dramatic day on the day of Pentecost when they heard the sound from heaven. But he's also filling it in this place even already today. Hallelujah. When we hear the sound of the gospel and we hear the sound of someone speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives them the utterance. I'm trying to tell you that when God will make His presence known, but when He comes, it's going to be in a spiritual way, not in a carnal way. It will be the Spirit of God moving with great power. We need the Spirit of God to blow in this house today. We need to let the wind of God blow through with great power. Hallelujah. We need a spiritual experience. I don't need a church experience. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't need some religion. Religion will just make you miserable. But I need an experience that will change me. Yeah, I want God to take me the way I am, but God, please don't leave me the way that I come. Change my life, God. Deliver me and set me free. Hallelujah. God wants to give us that spiritual experience. He wants to get down into us so that He can breathe upon us and say, receive ye the Holy Ghost, so that the same Spirit of God that breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul, that God will breathe into you this day. You know what? He wants to make it somebody's birthday today. He wants to make it somebody's creation day. Where today, God fills you with the Holy Ghost. He wants somebody today to be the first day of the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Some of y'all are getting worried because I read about 30 verses and I'm still on verse 2. Hallelujah. But it'll move quick. I'm not going to cover every one of them. But it filled all the house where they were sitting. Look around you. God wants to fill those people with the Holy Ghost today. God wants to fill every child full of the Holy Ghost. And to every man, every woman, every husband, every wife, and to every living soul in this place is filled with the Holy Ghost. But Brother Mills, I've got the Holy Ghost. Then maybe you need to get your water jug topped off one more time. Hallelujah. I'm against this damnable religion or doctrine that goes around this country saying that you can speak in tongues one time and never speak in tongues again. You knew that's how you got it. How you don't know if you lost it or not. Timothy was told by Paul, it's in you for the laying on of my hands, but you're going to be the one that stirs up the gift. You need to stir it up. You can take some sweetener and you can put it down into a glass of tea. But it ain't going to do any good until somebody takes something out and stirs it up. That's the only way that it's going to work. Every now and then, we need to be stirred up in the Holy Ghost. We need God to top us all one more time. But Brother Mills, if I said that contradict this pastor, he'll straighten it out, I promise. But Brother Mills, I got the Holy Ghost 30 years ago, and I backslid and came back, but I've never prayed back through to the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm sorry. You better get the Holy Ghost, or you're going to hell. But I got it 30 years ago. I know I backslid, Brother. That's right. And he said, my spirit would not dwell in an unclean temple. He gave you a period of time, but then he took it back away. You better go back to the basis of where it all started at and repent and get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Understand that the very first sacrifice that God instructed them to offer in the Bible was from Cain and Abel. We have no way exactly of knowing how God accepted Abel's sacrifice and rejected Cain's sacrifice, but there's good evidence from the rest of Scripture that there was a pattern of God's behavior, that it was answered by fire. Because all throughout the Bible, in fact, 8 times, God received and accepted the sacrifice by fire. On the day of Pentecost, it was no exception. And it will be no exception when God returns again, for He'll return with flaming fire. God would answer the sacrifice by fire. This is what He did on the day of Pentecost. There was a fiery presence that settled upon each of them. Brother Mills, am I going to see fire today? See, you're still thinking like Nicodemus did. You're still thinking carnal instead of thinking spiritual. God, the Bible says, and there appeared in them cloven tongues like as a fire. God always consumed His sacrifice with fire. Pentecost is a life changing experience. Fire will take the chemical properties of a solid and will transform it into a vapor, but it still goes off as smoke. The chemical properties are changed, but now it is existing in a brand new form. This is exactly what happens to us as we offer ourselves as a sacrifice in the presence of God. We're consumed and then we're transformed into the communion with God, where we begin to become one with God and God begins to become one with us. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to you today that this experience of the Holy Ghost is a soul transforming, life changing experience. Hold on a second. This may be too little blunt for you, but if you got saved and you didn't get changed, you didn't get saved. Salvation will change you. It will change your life. It does not mean He does it all at once. He's still working on you, but He'll change you. I'll tell you what, my great-grandpa, I come from several generations of preachers. And I tell you what my great-grandpa on my mom's side said as they threw him out of a denominational church. Literally threw him out. As he was speaking in tongues, as they threw him out the back door as he was preaching. He turned around to them and he said, "You can shake a preacher's hand and you can sign your name to a member roster. But if that's all you've done, you might as well went out to the barnyard and sign the barn door and shake the donkey's tail, because that's all that's going to get you. I need something that changes me. I don't want to stay in sin. I'm tired of the heartache of the world, but I need something that sets me free." Bible said there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. It rested upon them. Jesus Christ wants to rest upon you today. He wants to remain upon you. He wants to abide upon you. I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God comes upon you today, He wants to remain there long enough to transform your nature. God wants to transform who you are, but He can't do it unless you allow Him to remain upon you. You see, some people are just there for the moment, but they're never changed. He's got to rest on your spirit. He's got to rest on your mind. When the Spirit of God rests upon you and remains upon you, then the Spirit of God will change your nature. The things that you once used to hate, you will now love. The things you once used to love, you will now hate. Fourth verse, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Everyone, I'm sorry, but everyone must be filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. That ain't what I said, that's what the Bible says. He did not just fill two or three. But He filled them all with the Holy Ghost. He just didn't fill the disciples. But even His own mama had to get the Holy Ghost. Brother Mills, you trying to say Mary had to have the Holy Ghost? Yeah, she split hell wide open. Because we all have got to go the same way. If we try to go any other way, it's the same as a thief and a robber. Hallelujah. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." The Holy Ghost is not just an add-on. It's not an optional selection. But the Holy Ghost is the infilling of God's Spirit into every believer. He wants everyone to be filled with His Spirit in this place today. He began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. All did. Some people say that speaking in tongues is for some Christians and not others. They say that not all Christians should speak with tongues. 1 Corinthians 12 and 30 says, "Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret it?" The obvious answer is no. All do not speak with tongues. The problem is the confusion of the categories. We're talking about two different kinds of tongues here. He's speaking here of the gift of tongues, not of receiving the Holy Ghost. You could also ask, do all have the gift of faith? No, do not all have the gift of faith that can believe divine miracles and healings and see it happen. But must all have faith to go to heaven? Yes. We're talking about two different kinds of faith here. You know, the gift of faith is able to speak dramatic things into existence and believe God to do something supernatural. Everybody does not have that kind of faith, but everyone must have faith. That's the same with tongues. They all spoke with tongues. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. I'm going to give you a quick little history lesson right quick. All these Jews are all, let's just say they were Americans, okay? And you got Americans that live in France. You got Americans that live all over, you know, in Germany. I mean, they're just all over the world. But they originally were Americans. And here it is that we would have a Passover here in America, and they would all come back to America once a year for this. This is what was happening in Jerusalem. All the Jews were coming back. Now, if the Lord had went to college, he would have majored in marketing. And he would have been a very good marketing director. You said, Brother Mills, what do you mean? What if he would have done it any other week? It would have stayed in Jerusalem. But he knew the right time to launch it. The time had fully come. And now, it's not just going to stay in Jerusalem, but it's going to be noise abroad, and we're going to take it to every country, every nation, throughout the whole world. And they're going to tell it to somebody. And they're going to tell it to somebody. I'm telling you, Pentecost is more than just four walls. But Pentecost is an everyday, life-changing situation. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking his own language. Here it is, these Greeks are hearing. Here it is, these people from Rome are hearing a Galilean speak their language. And they were amazed, and they marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak, are they not Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. The point that I want to get to you today is this. Don't let anyone rob you of this. They all spoke with tongues. It's the will of God in this place today for everyone to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But if he does it, he's going to do it with speaking with other tongues. Preacher, I believe on the Lord as my Savior. I confessed him. I've repented. I've been a Christian for many years. Listen, I don't doubt your current experience. But I have no doubt that the Spirit of God that's been working in your life that has already led you to genuine repentance and genuine faith has now led you to this place for such a time as this. Don't stop until you get all the way to the upper room. Don't stop until you get everything that God has for you. You may not ever receive the gift of tongues, but God wants everyone to share it in this Pentecostal experience. That's why they all spoke with other tongues. Many people who are believers and not even heard. If some of y'all saints would really take real good attention, I'm teaching in this marvelous light, the majority of it right now. Many people who are believers have not even heard of the Holy Ghost that is promised to them. Also, some people say it's not necessary to be baptized or to be rebaptized. You would think if you were baptized by John the Baptist, who was the greatest person according to the Lord that ever walked, it would not be necessary to be rebaptized using a different baptismal formula. Others say it doesn't matter what is spoken over you when you're baptized. If it don't, just say my name today. I mean, you know, if it don't matter. If the Bible indicates it does not matter, then it don't matter. But what if the Bible shows us that it does matter? What if the Bible really just shows us clear? In Acts 19:1, the Bible said, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said unto John the Baptist's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, which was good for that time. But he said unto them, to the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this,
they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But he wasn't through yet. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And how did they know they got the Holy Ghost? Because they spake with tongues. That's how. I'm telling you, it is a sign that you got the Holy Ghost. Brother Mills,
why would God use the tongue? The tongue is the most unruliest part of the body. The tongue will get you in more trouble. I had to call a couple people yesterday and apologize for something I said. Thank you. I was wondering if you was going to ever do it or not. Because the tongue is unruly. You'll snap off and say things without even thinking about it. Hallelujah. I'm going to lose this message. Hallelujah. But when God can get a bridle on that tongue, like a bridle on a horse, he can take it anywhere that he wants to go. And so, the only way you get the Holy Ghost is when you yield yourself to it. And when you yield yourself to it, that's saying, God, I have now yielded my last body member to you. I've yielded my tongue. I'm everything, God. I may not understand it all, but God, where you lead me is where I'm going to follow. Where you take me is where I'm going to go. Hallelujah. These people were believers. But had they heard of and received the Holy Ghost? No. Did those baptized by John the Baptist have to be baptized in Jesus' name? Yes. Was receiving the Holy Ghost accompanied by the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues? Yes. I don't beat around the bush. I believe in using wisdom. Believe me. Believe me. But I don't beat around the bush. What separates us from the denominational world? It's not our holiness. Because there's Mennonites that look better than you. There's Muslims that look better than you. And there's people that I really believe have the Holy Ghost sitting on denominational pews. Because the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. But what separates us is how we baptize. Brother Mills, I thought the Bible said that he baptized Joe and baptized you in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. That is what he said. But did he say names or did he say name? That's singular. I'm a father, I'm a son, and I'm a husband. But if I write you a check right now for $500, don't worry, I'm not going to do it. But if I write you a check right now for $500 and I put father on there, or son or husband, will they cash it? What do they want? They want my name. The power is in my name. Acts 4:12. There is no other name given among man whereby we must be saved. They want the name. So with the disciples, did they contradict what the Lord did? No. They went and fulfilled because they knew what the name was. They knew that in the beginning he was the Father. And he manifested himself in flesh. He became the Son. And then he came back as a comforter, as the Holy Ghost. But I'm afraid if I give honor to the Son, to that little young lad, that the man with the big long beard up in heaven, we're not going to give him any. Well, it's funny to me that Jesus said all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Now, if I eat all of the pie, how much pie do I got left? I've got no pie left.
And Jesus said, I will not share my glory with another. He said, now this is the same Jesus, the one they call the little son. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Besides me, there is none. Thomas or Philip came to him and said, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us, or it will satisfy us. He said, have I not been so long with you that you don't even know who the Father is? Philip, when you see me, you've seen the Father. I am the Father. Said, I'm the unto you a child will be born. He'll be the Counselor. He'll be the Everlasting Father. He'll be the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what separates us. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But that being baptized, the only way I can find they were ever baptized in the Bible was in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you either, I'm going to ask you what the Lord asked Pilate. What are you going to do with this? Are you going to tear it out of the Bible? Or are you going to obey it? Hallelujah. Sister, come to the music and give them a little hope. Or brother, somebody. I went to look at my stopwatch here to see how long I've been preaching. The bad news for y'all is I forgot to start it. Pastor said he got his going. There's people filled today in this house that long to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, some of you have already been discouraged because you haven't received it as of yet. But you cannot bypass repentance. You cannot bypass repentance. He's not going to feel an unclean temple. Brother Mills, how is it that God can feel people that are not doing everything that they, like us, have been living for God for 20 years? As much as given, as much as required. And that's why the Holy Ghost will lead and guide us. God knows how much you know. And as much as given, as much as going to be required of you. Everyone that I've seen that has difficulty in receiving the Holy Ghost has difficulty because you do not yield your body and your mind to the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes upon you, almost in every instance, that individual will choke it back, swallow, and take control again. Some get it quick. Kind of like this sister did this morning. Some can wear out the saints of the Most High, and I want to give it to them. But you can't give it to them. The only thing you can do is try to help them yield. Teach them to yield. See, a lot of times we come, we're seeking after the tongues, but our faith should not be in the tongues. We're not seeking after tongues. That's just the evidence. We're seeking after the Holy Ghost. Your faith has to be in Jesus and what He done for you on that cross. You got to call on the name of the Lord. You got to worship Him. You got to talk to Him about your covenant. When the Spirit of God takes control of your speech, don't suppress it. Just keep trying to praise Him and let God take over. Now, I'm going to end this a little different than I normally do. I want the adults that came up here, I want you to listen, but I don't want you to come up here yet. But I want every child that came up here of 12 years or maybe 10 years or whatever or younger that don't have the Holy Ghost that wants it, I want you to come up here right now. Hallelujah. Come on, don't trip over each other trying to get up here. All right. Come on, man, look at this church. Too often, and I'm glad you're not doing it, but too often they have sit on our pews and grow up, and we're trying to reach the world while we lose our baby sitting on the pews. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to, y'all can listen if you want to, but
you need to take a recess, whatever, but I'll get some new Bible teaching for about 5 minutes here. How many of y'all, your mom and dad ever bought you something for your birthday? Some of y'all need to buy your kids something. All right? Birthday, Christmas, whatever. If I told you that I was, if your daddy told you he was going to buy you something, would you have to beg him for it? Would you have to plead and cry if he said, I'm going to get it for you when I get home? So would you have to beg him for it? Or just believe him? Just believe him. And see, a lot of times we come to the altar and we're, Jesus, please give me the Holy Ghost. And you don't have to do that. It's a gift. He's going to give it to you. So you know what? You know how? Y'all are smarter than what y'all act like. I've raised a couple of them. And you know how you get that from Daddy if he's not gave it to you yet? Daddy, I love you so much. Daddy, you're my favorite man in the whole world. You're my buckaroo, Dad. And you're sweet talking. And the next thing you know, Daddy can't keep from go ahead and giving it to you. It may be 3 days before Christmas, but you don't go ahead and give it now. You know why? Because Daddy loves you. And that's the same way it is with Jesus. When you come to this altar, you lift your hands and you say, Jesus, if there's anything in my life, if there's any sin, then I want you to forgive me. You hear me? You tell him, I want you to forgive me. Close your mouth. Don't worry about the person beside of you. Don't worry. It's just you and God. All right? And then you talk to God like you would talk to mom and dad or like you would talk to Brother Johnson. You just talk to him. And there's no magical words. You just say, Jesus, I love you. When you feel those tears coming, you just let them run down your face because Jesus loves to see those tears. And then when you feel something, you just begin to praise him. Jesus, I love you. After you repent, I love you so much, Jesus. I thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you're going to give me the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, that today when I leave here, I'm going to have the Holy Ghost. I've already repented. I've already been baptized. God, now you're going to give me the Holy Ghost. And when you feel it coming, and people are working with you, you're saying, hey, that's the Holy Ghost. You know you're doing good. You know you're making progress. And you just keep on praising. You don't have to beg him. You just have to praise. If you want the Holy Ghost, I want the girls to line up on this side. And I want the boys to line up on that side. And if you're an adult in this place, let's stand, everybody. If you're an adult, Brother Mills, I never heard an altar call like this. Listen, I didn't preach the word. I mean, we just have to obey it now. If you want the Holy Ghost and you're an adult here, ladies on this side, man on this side, and if you're a minister in this church, I do not have to lay hands on every one of them for them to get the Holy Ghost. You got it in your hands. You lay hands on them and let them receive the Holy Ghost. I need ministers to come to this platform right now. I'm believing God's going to fill every one of these babies with the Holy Ghost. Brother Mills, what if he don't do it? What if he does do it? I said, what if he does do it? Come on, man. I want you to begin to lift your hands. Look, there you go. Lift your hands. Come on, lift your hands. Just close your eyes.